Oh, what's up, man?
I am good. It's been a while since we've talked through microphones.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to try my best to not sound tired because I spoke to literally a few people earlier today and everyone literally on the phone mentioned how tired I sound. So I'm going to try my best. Yeah. But I am tired. I don't know what it is. I'm just really tired.
I feel like you have the same voice all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it never changes. You can wake up and call me and it'd be like, hey man, where are you? I'm in bed. I'm like, oh really?
Okay, that gives me a lot more assurance. Yeah,
but
then.
You know what? But I get the, you look tired all the time, which is even
you
more.
Oh yeah.
That's like saying you look like crap.
Mm.
Like, you know, you look tired.
But you do look tired sometimes. It's because you got to get more sleep.
I know.
You got to get more sleep, man. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you're hustling like crazy still over there. So,
yeah, I got to get back on that LA schedule.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I guess we should give everyone some context because they haven't heard from us. And I guess when this episode comes out, it would be close to 2 months from our last episode of Off Menu. And we talked about, that was when I was in New York. That was like the last leg of New York. And we hung out. We did a couple meals together. We were talking about indoor dining coming back. We're talking about vaccination cards. And also we had announced that we were going to do Baker's Box. Version one, volume one. 2 months later, we have done two volumes. And you've been to LA and back. So...
Yeah, I just got back from LA earlier this week.
Yeah.
Impromptu trip. Came out there to help you with Nemo and Baker's Box Volume 2.
I mean, you helped with so many things. You were there for me for a lot of things. And dude, I'm so thankful. You don't even know. I will be eternally grateful for you for being there for everything. I mean, it was such a crazy, as it always is. I feel like every time we meet, it's just this, it's like a show. It's like a Netflix show. It's just this crazy K-drama of, I mean, amazing events, but also once in a while, those unfortunate events. And one of them being, you know, my car getting smashed, my rear passenger window, but in Little Tokyo, in front of the temple. If you're in Little Tokyo, don't park there. No, man. I mean, I was thinking about this today as I was driving. Also, as soon as you left, Ben, the traffic is back to normal. It is so bad. It takes me a long time to get anywhere. There's just cars everywhere.
That means LA is coming back.
Yeah, back. Because it is back, I think, because I think LA is supposed to fully open June 15th. So earlier than New York.
Yeah. New York's supposed to be July 1st.
Yeah. So I think people are already itching to get out. And I think there was a article that came out that said California has the lowest rates of COVID or something along those lines. And I'm sure people reading those headlines are thinking, okay, now I can go back to my normal life now. And oh my gosh, it's been really bad traffic wise, but I don't want to go on a tangent. So when I was stuck in traffic, I was just thinking about you, you know, in LA. And it's so funny because when we're together, I feel like it's just this crazy, every day's crazy, right? And then you leave and like, my life is back to normal kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like my stories come back to, you know, normal life now. It's not like five meals a day. Cause when I'm with you, people will go crazy on my stories. They're like, what? Now it's like not much to post about other than me sitting in traffic, you know?
Well, I mean, every day when I was there, it was pretty much a full day of meeting people and going to places. And it's a full adventure, man. And I think we should have done a vlog, honestly.
I know.
It's kind of a fun day, man. I wish people could honestly see what we're doing. It's really cool.
I know. I mean, listen, man, you've been there for volume one, volume two. Now we're going to Chicago, like I just announced. It's crazy. Like, did you ever think like it would grow to be this crazy project?
I'm not surprised, to be honest. And the first one in New York was such a success. And LA was just as great, if not better. You know, I think the thing about LA's version or LA's edition was that we had a little bit of time to meet with some of the bakers, you know, meeting up for coffee, even dinner, or going to some of their shops and trying their stuff. Oh man, that was really nice. But getting to know them on a one-on-one personal basis for me was one of the highlights of LA, and hearing their stories and, you know, honestly trying, you know, like Sharon from Sugar Bloom Bakery brought us some of her croissants, and apparently they're pretty famous over there, and every coffee shop has them. And doing a little mini photo shoot with each baker was fun. So I hope we get to do the same in Chicago. You know, New York was a little different in the sense that it was so many things happening and happening so fast that they dropped off the desserts and we couldn't really talk to them that much. But yeah, I hope this continues, man. Honestly, it's great to hear their stories. And, you know, for those of you that don't know what the Baker's Box is all about, it's essentially, we work with 18 different female Asian American pastry chefs or pastry bakers, from professional to home bakers. And we feature them in a double stacked box, I guess, if you want to call it, and put it out on for sale in these cities. Dude, you tell it. I'm so bad at this. It's painful. Please help me. I'm not selling it good.
No, I mean, you know, when people listen to this episode, there's already going to be a episode about Baker's Box that I actually recorded it with Stephanie and Anna. Anna is the one helping on the ground in Chicago, and we actually did an entire episode about Baker's Box. So we don't have to dive into it too much, but you put it very well. It's a collection, a celebration of 18 Asian American pastry chefs and bakers. And at the end of the day, like you had said, Ben, I think during times like this, especially this month too, it's really important to celebrate and champion Asian American voices and faces. And for us to be able to do it in a collection like this, and we can bring 18 different personalities and perspectives, is a very special project to me personally, and I'm sure for you. And it was definitely a big improvement from New York, right? I think from a time perspective, but also, like you had said, just the quality time that we got to know each person. And I think that's something you and I are both passionate about. We're passionate about people and their stories and how they got into the work that they do. You know, we love desserts, but at the end of the day, I think what was really cool was that bond, and that will continue on. Right. So for sure, for Chicago, we should set aside time to meet everybody and hear their stories and document them and do the whole thing. But I'm also excited to say that as we do these editions, like, we're making incremental improvements along the way, right? So volume one, Jenny had to manually cut all the packaging tape with scissors in hand, one by one. Eunhee had to cut all the wax paper one by one. And I'm happy to say with volume two, we found a packaging tape dispenser with a built-in, what do you call that? Maybe like a sponge contraption. Which theoretically should have sped it up. And then we found wax paper that was smaller, so we didn't have to cut it up. But now I'm happy to say, and on microphones to you, Ben, because you're on my ass about this. Happy to say that volume three, we are doing stickers, individually peeled stickers for the packaging of the boxes. So no more tearing off packaging tape.
Ah, that's amazing. Finally, no more sticky wet tape.
Yeah, no more sticky hands.
Disgusting.
So that's, yeah. So I already printed them just ready for Chicago. So what's cool about this new packaging, I don't know if you can see it.
Looks great.
It'll say box one of two. Mm-hmm. And then there's box two of two. So people can actually know which box is which. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very cool.
And I think with volume two and one, we didn't know what was what. It was like whatever was below in that stack was the first box or second. It's. So now with these stickers, I think it's going to be a lot more organized and it's going to be perfect. And even the wax paper, I found one. You know how we use like a patty paper and it was a 4x4, not really the perfect size. Mm-hmm. I found one that's the perfect size, 7x7. So it covers the entire box, just one wax paper.
We're going to be uber efficient.
Oh Chicago. My God. Chicago is going to be, honestly, I think it's going to be great from just, especially from the packaging perspective and just like logistics is just really down pat. So I'm really stoked about it. Also, Uni's going to be there too. So, oh my gosh.
So do you want to give people out there a tease, I guess, of what other cities we're going to?
After Chicago, which is in May, we are going to be going to Boston in June, Philly in July, this DC in August, San Francisco in September, Portland in October, Seattle in November, the remaining year of 2021, every month we're going to be going to a new city. And it's exciting, man. Just venturing out into cities that don't get much love and recognition, especially from an Asian American context, right? It's always New York or LA. Mm-hmm. And for us to bring the AB experience, as we internally call it, to these different cities. I've always wanted to be a musician because like the idea of touring was so cool to me. So I'm glad that we can kind of do this and not have to play music.
It's a cool way to see the US, huh?
Yeah, it's a great excuse to see the US, but also I think it's just a very fulfilling project. It is a really, really great project. So I'm really, really happy about how it's going and you being a big part of it and just everyone that's a part of this behind the scenes is just such a treat to work with. So, but either way, just really excited to continue to showcase locally based talent. I don't have much else to say. It's just a really, really, I'm just really happy about that. Yeah.
Stay tuned. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them what else is happening in the world of With Warm Welcome? Or is that going to be in some sort of email perhaps?
Well, there is a newsletter that's also coming out. And the newsletter is by our team members and friends, Izzy and Sean. They are also a couple. The couple came first.
Adorable.
And then the newsletter came after. And it's called Soundbites. And so if you subscribe to it, you probably have received it already. It's going to be coming out May 5th. So by the time this episode drops, it would have been out already. But I'm going to archive it. So if you missed it, you can still check it out on the website. So there'll be a section for the soundbites on our website so they can check it out. But the idea is every month we're going to be spotlighting our Asian American community. And as you know, Ben, there's always a limit to how many people we can feature, especially on a podcast format. It's like one person a week, maybe two at max. And you know this, but my personal struggle and strife has been my inability to cast a wider net. And I don't want to be the gatekeeper for this community. So I think having a newsletter will enable us to cover a lot more ground, essentially, and be able to share the spotlight with as many people as we want, you know? So I'm excited about that prospect, but I'm excited also to have Izzy and Sean really continue to put out wonderful projects. I think that's the coolest thing right now, man, is really greenlighting everybody in our team, and everyone is like slowly doing their own projects underneath With Warm Welcome. And dude, oh my gosh. Like sometimes it really hits me and I'm like, wow, this is so much bigger than what it was when you and I first met, when I interviewed you August 1st, 2020, and we met August 1st, 2020. I have that date forever engraved, you
know. As you should.
No, seriously. It's just like, that's when my life changed, you know? And yeah. It really did. I'm not going to lie. It really did. And I think it really opened my eyes to what other things I could do other than working in a restaurant, right? So anyways, man. So the Soundbites is coming out. Monthly newsletter. May is a big month for us at With Warm Welcome. We had a lot of collaboration requests, a lot of interview requests, obviously, because it's Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, which I'm happy about. But I want to also preface and say that it shouldn't be performative. I think it's a great month to help amplify people in our community. But I hope that once May is over, this stuff has to continue. You know, this is just like the starting point for these conversations. So
yeah, it should continue forever, to be honest.
Right. So I want to make sure that, you know, we continue to do this work that we've been doing. Right. And I think it's very important, but you're going to see a lot of things coming out from us, but also we were going to do a lot more events, but we decided to scale back this month because we realized that there's a lot of other organizations doing events to raise awareness for AAPI in the food industry and kind of the restaurant scene. And honestly, I don't want to compete. There's no reason to compete for attention. I'd rather help amplify those events because those are going to be one-off events. And you know what? Come June, July, August, we're going to be here doing what we do, right? Which is championing Asian Americans. So again, I'm really happy about what this month has to bring, but I think I'm already thinking about the months ahead and how we can continue these conversations. Well, do you want to tell us, do you want to tell the audience what you've been up to? I feel like you've been up to a lot of stuff the last few days.
I have been since coming back this week, man. It's just been intense. Just a lot of photo shoots and networking with people, talking about my project with the Japanese government again for the Wagyu project, and photo shoot with Kasaki, and supporting our friends, like, you know, like I said, Calvin Eng, who is going to open a restaurant called Bonnie's Brooklyn, who's going to be, I don't know the concept. I don't want to misspeak on it, but I feel like it's a modern Cantonese driven, maybe like a modern cha chan tang, you know, kind of like that dinerish food. I don't know. But he's extremely talented and I love the dude. And he's doing pop-ups all over New York City right now. And wherever he goes, it's literally things sell out in an hour and a half, right? And swarms of people, to be honest. So I think that people are excited for what he's doing. And he's going to open sometime in August, maybe September. But follow Bonnie's Brooklyn to keep up on that. And, you know, this past weekend, I went to go visit him at Winsun Bakery. Support that, you know, Calvin and my friends at Winsun, you know, Josh and Trigg and Danielle. And seeing them and just seeing a whole bunch of people. And, you know, speaking of the events that were happening in May, you know, tonight I did, you know, shoot the event for Chef Stopping AAPI Hate, which is something that started out of DC. Now it's in New York. It's a bunch of restaurants that are collaborating to produce like tasting menus that are specifically for takeout. And with the proceeds going to, you know, raising awareness for Asian hate and stuff like that. So that was tonight. And yeah, it's just been nonstop, man. Honestly, I thought I was going to get a little bit of a break, but coming back from LA, it was, oh my, well, in LA, I kind of put things on hold for a little bit. And then coming back to New York, it was just like full throttle. But I love it, man. This is honestly what I do every day. And it's a far cry from what I used to do in finance. And I'm so glad that I don't do that anymore. So even though I'm crazy busy every day, staying up to the wee hours of the morning, editing and whatever, I love it, man. This is, I'm probably the happiest I've ever been right now.
I think we both are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously there are moments that are tiring, but
yeah, it's cool, man. I've been hearing so many people lately too, talking about their careers and their passions. Right. I even spoke to a girl tonight who quit Google and is working at Gray Street Cafe.
No way.
I swear to God. And I was like, you quit Google? She's like, yeah, it wasn't for me. And I was like, good for you, you know? And she's happy to be in hospitality and she's happy to be doing that. She's like so excited to meet up and talk about things. So that was really nice. And it's cool seeing a lot of people. Like I said, I think COVID has given people a different perspective on life, rethinking what they want to do and rethinking how they want to spend the rest of their lives or spend each and every day. So I've seen a lot of people leave whatever industry they're in and pursue their own passions. And I think it's amazing, man, to be honest. It's really inspiring. And I hope more people do that because I was one of those people many years ago. You know the story. And I never wanted to take a chance. I thought finance was safe and comfortable and stable. And inside I was miserable. But I was luckily I had a situation where I was able to leave finance and try some different things. And it led me to photography and social media management today. And like I said, I'm super happy doing it. So I hope people out there pursue your passions and do what you love. That's my tip of the day.
I think since you brought it up, I'll probably link your... I brought it up too. Since we talked about it, I'm going to link your episode in this episode description. So if you're interested in hearing more about Ben's story, you can check out the interview that I did with him in the first time we actually met, August 1st, 2020. And I'll link it below so you can check it out. And I think it'll be great because something I did want to mention to you too is I was looking at the podcast metrics, but it tripled in the last few weeks because I think we're getting a lot more new followers and audience members, and a lot of more people are finding out about us through different mediums. Obviously, the Baker's Box has a lot to do with the traction we've been getting as well.
That's cool.
So if people are curious about you, Ben, and your story, which is an amazing story that I myself could probably resuscitate as well at this point, please go check it out. I think it was one of my favorite interviews. It was like a really refreshing interview because you were the first non-chef restaurateur that I interviewed, and it just opened up so many more possibilities for this podcast, I think. So I'll link that below for people curious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks for everyone who's tuning in for the first time.
I don't know what you can expect from us, but off menus are typically just the segment that me and Ben co-host, and also on rotation we'll bring in with Home Welcome team members to just chat about things that are happening with us and sharing more. I mean, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do at With Warm Welcome, if you're just finding out about us, is we amplify and humanize Asian American chefs and restaurateurs. And these days, I've been also adding a tagline saying that we cared about Asian Americans before it was cool to care about Asian Americans. and off menu is just a vehicle in which we can humanize ourselves first, right? I think it's also important to put a face to the storytellers that are helping to craft these narratives of chefs and restaurateurs. So that's what this segment is all about. But yeah, man, I think it's, I don't know how to feel about everything. It's crazy because, you know, you're the one person that has been through it all with me from really the inception of this idea. And since With Home Welcome was just a podcast, right, into who knows what it's becoming now, but it's been a really crazy journey so far.
Yeah. More to come.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, a lot of fun projects coming up.
And, you know, like you were saying, you know, this off-menu format is very loose. And we kind of talk about whatever's on our minds, whether it's good places we've eaten at, or, you know, topics that are kind of hot. And it's less formal, you know? So if there's any topics that you guys want to talk about or you want to hear, feel free to DM us at the With Warm Welcome Instagram and let us know like what you'd like us to talk about. And we're happy to discuss it. Don't want it just to be us all the time, you know, like,
yeah,
I want this to be collaborative. Share.
Of course. Well, I'll pretend like I'm a listener. Hi, Ben. I'd love to know what were some of your favorite restaurants in Los Angeles.
Well, Arnold, let me tell you this. I ate very well in Los Angeles. I ate a lot of Korean food and very homey kind of spots like Hanbat Solentong.
Nice. Sounds good.
Sorry, Hanbat. Yeah, Hanbat Solentong, right? Is that right?
I was saying, yeah, it was perfect.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you like a Korean or something.
Very, very, very like traditional Korean broth, right?
Yeah, like a beef bone broth. Mm-hmm.
Then we had our Kabitang at Sanandong. So I feel like I'm like disrespecting. I'm like Sanandong.
No, not at all.
And then what's the other place with the pork belly? Is that Jinseol?
Jinseol Gukbap, yeah.
Jinseol Gukbap.
That was good.
And then
too.
We also had the tteokbokki.
Yeah. Oh wow, dude, you're good. You had like everything now that I think about it. And we went to Yeopdeok for tteokbokki, and it was recommended by Ho, who actually has another podcast called Sexy People. We were both on it. I was episode one, then it was episode two and three because he got two parts because he's a lot cooler than I am. So check that out as well. But yes, we did tteokbokki.
We also, another fine restaurant in LA to visit would be Bevel.
Oh, dude. Bevel was good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people know about it already, but it's one of those places that you hear about from a lot of people that it's really great and you go in with high expectations. And I would say it meets it, to be honest. They do things really well over there.
Really spectacular. I think it's, honestly, I can't even remember the last time I went to a place so hyped up like that and I actually enjoyed it.
Well, going back to the Korean food scene real quick, was one place that I forgot to mention that you're very close to. Hanchik. We ate there probably two or three times during my trip. And you also just wrapped up Nemo. Kuljapan?
You know what? I'm not offended. At least you got the other places right.
Kuljapan. I can't say it, man. You say it.
So ku is right. Ku just means nine. It's Kuljapan.
Kuljapan.
Yeah, Kuljapan.
Is that better?
Yeah, it was better. It was good. I mean, listen, man, everyone thinks you're Korean anyways. Literally, you go to any Korean restaurant, everyone speaks to you in Korean. It's really funny. And then you do the whole like Korean murmur. What's the Korean? It's like, right? So who called you out for that? Was it Ho? Someone called you out.
It was Ho.
Yeah.
I thought I pronounced it pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was very natural. Yeah. But the thing is, we talk like that sometimes. And my dad calls me. I'm like,
But yeah, going back to Hanchik, it was really good. What they're doing over there is like kind of an approachable new modern Korean, I guess, if you want to call it. And they're crushing it, man. And I even had, when I came back to New York, some people were saying that they were excited to try it.
Oh,
Seeing all the stories. Yeah, they're like, oh, I want to try Hanchik. And I was like, yeah, you got to go. So great meals there. awesome tea at Steep. Steep is just a great place to hang out and
agreed.
Chill.
My second home.
Yeah. And going to, you know, speaking of desserts and the baker's box, we got to visit some of the shops like Lucky Rice Cake in K-Town, where Eunice is at, and awesome stuff. She makes some really great stuff and she does so much there. It's incredible. Stephanie from Go Cakes in, what's that area called?
San Marino,
yeah. We got to visit her spot, Larulu in Far East Plaza in Chinatown. Where else did we go? We got to see Jess and Picnic at her pop-up in front of Paper Please. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And let's see, where else? Yeah, that was the baker. Those are the bakeries that we went to. You should all visit them. They're really great. We got to hang out with one of the bakers from Silk and Jade. We had dinner with them at Chifa, which was really fun. Chifa is like one of the hottest restaurants in LA right now. Opened by the family of Humberto, right? Who was one of the co-founders of opening ceremony. And his family, it's cool. We got to meet his sister, his mom, his brother-in-law, and the mom, Wendy, is like 70-something years old. Super energetic, super vibrant. So lovely, and told us her whole story of opening a restaurant in Peru, coming to Peru from Hong Kong, speaking no Spanish, no English, and building this restaurant, then having to move to California, and then like starting over and kind of working in the garment industry, and then like just, you know, up until this past year, they decided to open up Chifa, right, the original restaurant in Peru. And it's crazy. It's popping, you know. Food is delicious and Usher's a frequent guest and they're doing a collab with Padma Lakshmi. Is that her last name? I messed it up.
I think it's Lakshmi. I'm not quite sure either, to be honest. But yes, it was casual flex.
Yeah, I was like, it's like Chifa X Padma. Is it the Padma? They're like, yes, the Padma. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Very casual. Didn't even put her last name. But no, that was a great night, man.
Yeah, it was a good night.
Such a fun time.
I love LA, man. I really do. But again, it's not just the weather. It's really the people that we've met. And that's what makes it so special. If you don't know anyone in LA, it sucks. That's my take. That's my take in LA. What was your highlights?
I mean, I think you said you've definitely mentioned all of them. At least when you were here, I think those are some of the highlights. The highlights being meeting the bakers, going out to nice dinners, having Korean food with you. And, you know, we have to give a shout out to obviously one of your favorite breakfast burrito spots, the potato sack in K-Town.
Yes, yes. If you like.
You should tell us the story how it went down, because I think that was some crazy VIP experience.
If you love breakfast burritos like I do, check out Potato Sack in K-Town. It's Korean owned, but they do American style breakfast. And my go-to is the sausage, egg, and cheese burrito with hash tater tots inside. Well, sorry, tater tots come in it. You don't even have to say that. It's already in it.
Right.
You can choose like your side of tater tots or like, you know,
home fries, fries maybe?
Home fries, yeah. All that stuff. Get the tater tots, trust me.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I agree. So good. But the story is that I, you know, when I come to LA, I probably go at least a couple times, at least two or three times minimum. And I, it's funny. The owner never really asks me my name, right? He doesn't even know, like he knows of me, but doesn't really know me. So the time we went there, Arnold and I, we sat there and I go, do you know who I am? And like, not like, do you know who I am? But I was like, I always order from you. I don't mean like that. I was like, do you know, I always order from you. I get the same order, sausage and cheese with tater tots. He goes, oh yes, yes, yes. I go, yeah, yeah. I call all the time. And then so like, you know, and we just like pleasantries, right? And then the next time we went, we were on our way to K-Town, right? And we didn't have time. We really didn't have time. We had about maybe 25 minutes max. And I said, let me call them up and see if they could like prepare for us well, so we could eat inside. I called them up and I was like, hi, this is the Chinese guy that orders for the same thing from you all the time. He goes, oh, yes, yes, I know who you are. And I go, I go, he goes, you want a sausage, egg, and cheese burrito? I said, yes, I do. Two, please. And I go, well, he goes, how many, I said, we're driving there now. I said, can you please have it ready for us at the table? I know it's kind of weird, but I was like, can you please have it ready for us at the table? And he goes, how many minutes? And I go, 12. He goes, okay. And then we literally get there in 12 minutes. Arnold's parking the car. I get out first. I go inside and he like gestures over to the table and the two burritos are sitting there waiting for us.
And then it was like perfectly plated, like utensils.
You can still see the smoke, the steam.
Oh my God.
And then I go to the guy and I said, excuse me, sir, what is your name? He goes, Mr. Lee. And he puts his hand up to shake my hand. I said, my name is Ben. Nice to meet you.
Oh man. I have an update to this story because I went there recently for breakfast too. It was actually on Friday. I went Friday. It was Friday in the morning. So it's on 8th Street, which is the same street as Hanshik. And I went there in the morning because I wanted a celebratory breakfast burrito for myself because, you know, last day of Nemo. And, you know, we got to celebrate somehow. And I went and I got, you know, the order you just mentioned. And I finished and the guy speaks to me in Korean. He knows I'm Korean, so we speak in Korean. And he says, where's your friend? And I'm like, he's in New York. I'm like, oh, when is he coming back? I'm like, I don't know. And it's just like, you know, it goes to show you, man, how much of an infectious, contagious, positive energy that you bring. You know, you have this like magnetism to you, and I think people gravitate towards it because they know that you're a happy guy. You know. You have a very positive outlook on life and people latch onto that. And I think that anytime we meet anybody for a brief stint of time or period of time, you know, everyone has such positive connotations of you. For example, I was at Sesame yesterday. I went to Sesame yesterday and I was with Kenny from KCRW Because we were going to go, we checked out Domi, our friend Evelyn, who's actually part of the Baker's Box as well, and also helped package the boxes. She had a pop-up yesterday, so I went to go support her. And then after that, I got some cream puffs, dropped it off at Steep as I normally do, and then made my way to Sesame. And I recognized Linda from, you know, your photos and your stories. And I was like, hey, or well, rather, Kenny knew of Linda too. So Kenny introduced himself. And then I introduced myself. And I was like, hey, do you know Ben? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, great. He's like, he gives the best hugs. No, I'm like, really? Okay.
Well, you don't know.
I was like, damn, this guy, man. I mean, and then, you know, her face lit up when I mentioned your name. So
she's sweet.
I just want to share that with you because I think that's always so cool when you can confidently say that you know somebody because you know that they have a positive influence. It's always you know, when you go somewhere and you're like kind of name drop or you share that you may have a mutual friend, but you do it with a little bit of hesitation because you can't like 100% vouch for them. Like kind of like, do you know Arnold? Or, you know, but with Ben, it's like, hey, you know Ben? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, great, me too. You know, you can say with full confidence. So it's pretty cool, dude. Pretty cool.
Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah.
Very touched. And it's sweet. Yeah, Linda's really nice. Linda is the owner of Sesame LA in Chinatown. You guys should check it out. It's kind of like an Asian mini mart, if you will. That's probably another bad description, but she sells things from small independent Asian owners that like, whether it's tea or sauces, you name it, she has everything. Steep, she's selling Steep's tea there as well. Fresh produce, even prepared foods that her mom makes in the morning. Some monks make it too at the temple, which is insane. You guys should check it out. It's next to Paper Please, which our friend Caitlin, her family is involved with the building. But you guys should check out that little area. It's a cool spot. And Linda's awesome. So thank you for sharing that story. That was really nice.
Yeah, she was great. And like you mentioned, I think the shop is amazing too. It's only been open for like a week, but they did a great job with press and media. And I know, you know, they invited you early on and really cool. I think it's honestly the best way to describe it too would be if we opened a retail shop, if With Warm Welcome opened a retail shop, it would honestly have a similar vibe and feel to Sesame because she does the great job curating API founders. Some of our friends that were on the podcast, like Amsam and Sandro from Sanzo Sparkling Water, like she carries them. And then I found out she carries Destroyer and she's literally the only retail store outside of Destroyer that carries Destroyer. Like Destroyer doesn't really wholesale or give away their products for other people to sell it, but she sells it because she has that connection from her other business because you told me this, that she was a perfumer. And she makes her own fragrances. Like who are you? You know, it's crazy.
Casual flex.
Seriously. That's what I realized about LA. LA is a lot of casual flexing going on, right? Dessert X Padma. I own a perfumery in, you know, West Hollywood. Okay. Yeah. I got to have that too. I got to start working on that. My casual flex.
What would that be?
I don't know. I got to figure it out. That's my next goal in life. I want to do that.
I sell dessert boxes. I saw it. What do you do? I travel around the United States doing that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it on my end. And, you know, we'll definitely keep everyone posted about the happenings here at With One Welcome, but some cool stuff coming up, man. Just really cool stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for all the support to everyone out there. It's been amazing from people talking about all the Baker's boxes and all the cool stuff that we're doing. So really appreciate the support and please tell your friends. And you know, it's not just about us. It's really honestly about the people that we're featuring. We want to really tell their stories and highlight kind of like not just desserts, but the people behind the desserts. So And there's going to be more, to be honest, more stuff coming from that. Not just Baker's Boxes, but more to come on that as well. But help us spread the word. That's what we want to do.
No, we'll continue doing this work. And again, May is a big month for us as a community. But if you're looking to do more and contribute more well beyond this month, I think we're a great organization to get involved with, and we want to work with you. So I was DMing somebody the other day too, but I think the goal is to basically cultivate a community in every corner of the United States, you know, and that's something that I feel like has been a calling of mine too. And you know, you and I are both kind of in alignment with that as well. I think like we were meant to bring people together, connect people, you know, build bridges. And yeah, we're going to continue doing it. And like you said, Ben, we're just really going to focus on positive energy and putting out good work, good and honest work. And I'm sure everything will work out. So anyways, for anyone listening in, Ben said it as well, but on behalf of With One Malcolm, thank you everybody for supporting us. And if you've been tuning in since day one, I mean, damn, we've come a long way together. So thank you all so much. And we'll definitely see you next time on Off Menu.
See you guys.
Boom, boom, boom. With More Welcome.